For our beginners, I just want to give a couple of thank yous. First of all, to Esti Lupin and to Deborah Young for helping set up and coordinate today's Not Necessary for Torah, making everything so perfect and so beautiful. Chef Gersh for the desserts and the food over Shabbos, and for all of your love. To the BRS staff for all of your support and friendship, particularly, of course, my dear, dear, dear brother, Reverend Goldberg, not my real brother, my brother, my other brother, Reverend Goldberg. This is too long to mention here today, but you know, I hope you know how deeply grateful I am to you. To our friends in the community, also too numerous to mention, but each of you hopefully know who you are and how much we appreciate you for the Shabbos afternoon visits, to the countless messages of support. It is not an exaggeration to say that we would not have survived these last 2 years without you. To our family and our friends who flew in, also too numerous to mention, each individual. But I want you to know your presence here today, each and every one of you, means so much to us, as does your constant love and support. We truly appreciate you making the effort to be with us here today. To our dear friends from Memphis, Davises, the Fronwoodses, and the Bras, who flew in very early this morning to be here. Nobody knows more than me and Ariel how inconvenient that flight can be, and how much effort and sacrifice it took for each to be here with us today. But your friendship, your support, and your love during our 11 months in Memphis and now beyond has kept us going. During that last year, you knew Esti better than anybody else, and she truly loved your visits. She loved your children, and she loved you. When we started envisioning this day, the complexities, the emotions seemed overbearing. I was talking with Rabbi Neuberger about that, and he told me, and I agree, that there is only one person in the entire world who we trusted with being here with us to balance those emotions with sensitivity, with kedusha, and with friendship. Eitan, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for making the effort to be with us in advancing this Hatnasa Sefer Torah. Last but certainly not least, to the Rav and the Rebbetzin, to Rabbi and Mrs. Neuberger. The kavod you gave Esti's neshama and to our family by being here today means so much. I know how busy you both are and how many local obligations you have in Bergenfield. I do not for a second take our special relationship with you for granted. May Hashem bless Rebbe, the Rebbetzin, and your family with Arichas Yamin, Nachas, and continued good health. The most fundamental and primary obligation that every parent has in this world is to teach their child Torah. For 9.5 years, Ariel and I merited this mitzvah with Esti. And while we remain shattered and broken that we can no longer teach Torah to her, we draw strength in knowing that with the Sefer Torah, we can now teach Torah through her. As Rabbi Goldberg referenced, our rabbis teach us that the soul of every Jew can be found in one of the 600,000 letters in the Torah. And yet, the Gemara asks, Esther mina Torah minayim. The Gemara wants to know where in the Torah do we find a hint, a remez, to Esther. And it answers that Esther can be found in the words of Parshas Vayelech, Vanothi Aster Aster Panai Bayoma. Hashem tells the Jewish people that I will hide my face from you. The pasuk describes a time of estrangement and distance, that there will come a time of Esther Panim when it will look and feel as if Hashem has concealed his face and has stopped communicating with us. Suggests to Gemara that is the connection to Esther. The name Esther itself comes from the Hebrew word lastir, which means to hide. Megillas Esther does not contain the name Hashem and represents a time when we search for the presence of Hashem and we fail to find him. And it's in that space, and in those words where rabbis find a hint to Esther and to Torah. Over the past 2 years, those words of Anothi Haster Astir Panai Bayomahu can most acutely and painfully describe our feelings. I do not know, nor will I ever know, why Hashem robbed this world of a truly magnificent person. A little girl who was so talented, so pure, so beloved, and had so much more light to contribute. Like the name Esther itself, ours is a reality in Esther Panah, a painful feeling of Hashem's distance. But I recently came across an idea from the Chafetz Chaim that gave me both strength and inspiration. Because while the pasuk in the Torah is explicit that there will come that time of Esther Panim, Anochi Aster Astir Panai, the Chafetz Chaim writes that you have to continue reading with the Torah to the very next pasuk as well. V'ata, and now, Kistu Lachem Es Hashira Hazas, the pasuk which is the source of a mitzvah to write a sacred Torah. And writes the Chafetz Chaim, and that is our response during times of Esther Panim. We strengthen ourselves by writing the Torah, by learning the words of the Torah, and by committing ourselves to living with the values of the Torah. The response to V'anochi Aster Astir Panai Bayom Ahu is the very next pasuk. Aviata Kisru Lachem Es Hashira Hazas. The day we completed Shiva, I told Ariel that I have this visceral desire to have a Sefer Torah written in Esti's memory. I knew how complex it would be to balance the honor deserving of a new Torah with our continued feelings of complete brokenness. But I also knew how meaningful it would be to have Esti's love of the Parsha, its stories and its messages, live on through a new Sefer Torah. After all, for all of us, no matter how hard we try to fight it, our time on earth is merely temporary and transitory. It is only through our attachment to a life of Torah living and Torah learning that our neshama achieves immortality. And so I called my dear friend Rabbi Chaim Mish in Israel, and we are grateful that he agreed to partner with our family on this meaningful project. Rabbi Chaim Mish had written Moshe's Tefillin and is a tzaddik, a mensch, the Talmud Chacham. Our family is great, thankful, that with great sensitivity and holiness, this Sefer Torah has come to fruition. Our rabbis teach us that the writing of the Sefer Torah brings indescribable kedusha into this world. Each letter of the Torah is imbued with meaning and sanctity, and the learning that will come from it will sustain that holiness for generations to come. Our tefillah is that through this Sefer Torah, the neshama of Esther Tehila Bas Gavriel Pinchas should have a continued aliyah. And that the effort and sacrifice that it took to write the Torah serve as a merit for our family, for our community, and for all of Am Yisrael. May the Kedusha of this Torah solidify a joyous life of Torah learning and living for Moshe, Shana, and Rina, and for our extended family. As this day approached, Ariel and I needed to pick out a manta, otherwise known as the cover for the Torah. At first, we perused the regular catalogs and websites, but none of those options resonated with us. After all, this is no ordinary Sefer Torah. It is a Sefer Torah written as a merit for the pure and holy neshama of a 9-year-old girl. We knew that it couldn't be something that looked overly mature or something that felt generic. Rather, we knew we wanted a mantle that best reflected Esti and her personality. We are grateful to the connector of Eliza Blazinski from Judaica Creations who guided us through this process. Every detail of this mantle is purposeful and meaningful. Its light blue color was Esti's favorite. And the crown on top represents not only the crown of Torah, but also the crown of Queen Esther, a perfect fit for our precious Esti. It is truly a unique mantle for a uniquely special girl. Most notably, instead of a more customary pasuk for the mantle, we chose a pasuk from Tehillim, chapter 15. Holech tamim ufo'al tzedek v'dover emes bilvado. Loosely translated as, he that walks with wholesomeness, acts justly, and speaks the truth in his heart. The Radak writes that this chapter of Tehillim is in reference to the journey of a person's soul. Misha Asa HaMaisim Ha'ela, someone who does these actions in their lifetime, Tishko Nishmaso V'makom HaKavod Afimoso, then his soul will merit a high elevation after they have departed from this earth. And then the Parak of Tehillim proceeds to list those important qualities, each of which we felt best describes Eski. The first characteristic of Holeich Tamim. The word Tamim can mean many different things. It can refer to someone who has Meluna Pshuta, a simple and unwavering faith in Hashem. It could also mean what the commentaries describe as Tofo Kabara, someone who is Piv Velibo Shav, someone who is the same both inside and out. That is, his external persona, the one that the public sees, is equally matched by his inner private self. Both of these explanations would perfectly suit Eski. As I spoke about at Bilavaya, Eski never questioned why any of this was happening to her. She never wavered in her belief in Hashem, not for one second. While she wasn't always thrilled with many of the procedures she had to endure, to say the least, we have one of her nurses here today who can attest to that. She always radiated an incredible and emunah pshuta, a simple, unquestioning emunah in Hashem. She was also told to kabara, what you see was what you got. She's funny, fun, creative, hardworking, motivated, resilient, loyal, and sensitive. She was the same person inside and out and under all circumstances, no matter who was or was not watching. But perhaps the best description, the best translation of this trait, is the actual translation itself, wholesome. When Esti was in early childhood, she had a friend who was a bit more rambunctious and lively. When that girl's parents went to parent teacher conferences that year, the teacher told the mother half in jest, maybe you should arrange play dates with Esti Moskowitz. She's such a wholesome child. Now, thankfully, both the mother and the teacher are two very close and dear friends. But it became a running joke. Every time the mother would see Esti, she would facetiously say, oh, what a wholesome child. But the truth is, Esti was wholesome. She was lots of fun and energetic. But she was also balanced, warm, kind, caring, sensitive, polite, and even-hearted. And all of these are qualities and characteristics that we can emulate. All of us can be more tamim. With so many doubts and questions, all of us can work on our emunah. In a world filled with so much superficiality, all of us can work on being a little bit more authentic and genuine. And all of us can be a little bit more wholesome by caring more about each other and being sensitive to the needs of others before your own. Second quality that guarantees our soul's immortality, Zufoel said, to be someone who acts justly. Commentaries explain that someone who is polytzedek doesn't just act righteously, but it's someone who advocates for kindness and charity. Once we were at a store in Memphis, and Esti noticed that by the checkout counter was a donation box collecting for St. Jude Children's Hospital. She immediately asked us for money to donate because for her it was obvious. St. Jude was taking care of her, and she wanted to give back to them. Esti also had a unique quality to know right from wrong. We received a letter from a mother in the community who told us that her daughter was talking about some girl that she met from camp who stood up for her when the other girls were being mean. This girl also made sure that her daughter was always included, and so she asked her mother if she could have a play date with that girl. That girl, of course, was Esti. And the mother wrote after telling her daughter about Esti. They also spoke about learning from Esti about the importance of looking out for other girls and being just a little bit more kind. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, man or woman, young or old, all of us can be someone who emulates this trait of Rufoel said, filling the world with just a little bit more kindness, compassion, and humanity. The last quality, the Dover Ames Bilvavol, might seem the most obscure, and yet, as you will see, for us, it is the most significant. Because while we translate the word emet, or emes, as being truthful, its meaning is much deeper. The Gemara tells us that Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, that the signature of Hashem is emes, it's truth. The Gemara Brachos tells us, Kol Shalom Amar emes v'yatzim shachos, v'emes v'emunir arvis, lo yatzim yarei kovasa, that if you don't say the word emes, In between Shema and Shemone Esrei, both in the morning and the night, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. But why is MS so important? Why is this quality of truthfulness so significant? The answer is that the word MS is used to describe something that is mitzvah, something that is eternal and immortal. Svas MS writes, Ki MS hu davar hamiskayim la'ad. That MS is something that exists forever. B'chol she'yish lo hefsek, anything that stops, by definition, and you know MS. Shemishmuel writes, Dine midas ha'emes yidavar she'en lo sof v'kul. Something that's emes, something that is this midah, this characteristic of truth, so it has no boundaries, it is endless, it is eternal. And that is why in between Shema and Shemone Esrei, we reference the word emes 6 times. And the entire field is one of eternality. The door of Ador, u'kayam, u'shmo kayam, u'chison achol, ma'kuso ve'amunaso lad kayemes. Emes, atahu kishosh, ve'atahu afro. Emes is something that is both the beginning and the end. In other words, it is something that never stops. It's why when we mention this word emes 6 times, it is also with so many references to our children, because it is our children who give us immortality. Al-Noseinu, ve'aleinu, al-Baneinu, ve'al-Doroseinu, al-Rishoni, ve'al-Afaroni. References over and over. Gemara Brachos says that Hanetzach Zo Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim is an eternal city. And therefore, it is no coincidence that the Nabi Zechariah writes, Nikru Yerushalayim Ir Emes. Yerushalayim is the city of Emes, because something that is Emes, something that is truth, is also eternal. It is why we're told that Yaakov is Emes, Tidin Emes LeYaakov. And we're also told by the Gemara in Tainis, Yaakov Lomes. Because something that is emes, by definition, will never die. It's why at the end of the Gilas Esther, when they establish Purim as a holiday for eternity, Esther sends out Divrei Shalom, the emes. It's why we refer to the Torah as emes, Moshe emes, the Sorasso emes. We say Yigdal Torah emes nasam le'amokel. Because there is no greater eternal work than the Torah. And something that is eternal is by definition emes. And it's also why the Gemara tells us that Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, that the signature of Hashem is emes, because God is eternal, and therefore he is emes. Once again, emes is eternal. Now many of you might be wondering, that's very nice. That's a beautiful idea. There's a connection between emes and something that is eternal and immortal. What does that have to do with why you chose this pasuk for the mantle of the Sefer Torah? The answer is that when parents name a child, they do so with the norm of Siyata Deshmaya. Little did we know on Ches Sivan Tavshinayim Gimel, when our new baby was born and we named her Esther Tehila Maskus, that the initials of her name, Aleph Tav Men, are the exact same letters that form the word Emes. And so when you look at the mantle, you'll notice that on the words the Dover and Mes filled Avo, the highlighted letters of Aleph and Tav, the Mem in the middle. Esther mina Torah minayu. Where can Esther be found in this Torah? It is our tefillah that through this Torah, which is Emes, and through our connection with Hashem, who is Emes, Esti will forever be uplifted in the Ola HaEmes. Esti, you always wanted to be a teacher when you grow up. Well, you have now taught us in ways that you never could have imagined. It is our hope and prayer that through this new Sefer Torah, you will continue to teach and inspire us for generations.